بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. أما بعد، يقول الإمام شيخ الإسلام: لا يذبح لله تعالى بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. Chapter number 11 in the book Kitab al-Tawheed. Kitab al-Tawheed, as we've mentioned and we continue to mention, is one of the basic and simple and easy to comprehend books that are dealing with the single most important issue in al-Islam. The salat is important. Paying the zakat or the poor due is important. Fasting and keeping your body and your spirit is important. And making the pilgrimage to the first house that Allah has allowed to be built for His worship, as He mentioned in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنَ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And Allah has a right that the people, all of mankind, make the Hajj, the pilgrimage to His house. And He said in the Quran, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلَّهِ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ. The first house that was placed for the worship of Allah is the one that is in Becca, another name for Mecca. All of that is important. But the person who fasts, and the person who makes Hajj, and the person who spends half of his money giving it to the poor, but he makes shirk with Allah, all of his deeds will be of no avail. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا أَعْمَالَهُمْ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we have made their deeds, يوم القيامة, they're going to be simply like dust particles in the sky, in the air. If you're sitting at your table and there's a light shining through the room and you can see the sunlight, you take a pillow and you hit the pillow, those dust particles, that is going to be the similitude of the people who make shirk with Allah. People who say Jesus is the Son of Allah. People who say the jinn are gods along with Allah. No matter what good deeds they do, when they come yawm al-qiyamah, they're not going to benefit from those deeds. So this book, Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of al-Tawheed, is the most and the single most easiest book, inshallah, for the Muslim to read as it relates to the monotheism of al-Islam, the do's and don'ts as it relates to al-Tawheed. Al-Tawheed is the monotheism of Allah. Close all the doors, close all of the windows that will bring you the fragrance of polytheism. Worship only Allah. Be afraid of only Allah. Slaughter and sacrifice only for Allah. Your life and your death should be for Allah. As He mentioned in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say unto them, my life and my death, my prayer, my sacrifice, all of that is for Allah. All of that is for Allah. So when the Muslim has a relative or someone he died, someone dies, my mother, your father, your grandfather, the neighbor, when we hear that news, we don't do what the Arabs used to do in the times before Rasulullah came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor do we do what the people who do, who are ignorant do today. We curse the time, or we curse this, or we curse that. When the Muslim hears the news of the death of someone, he says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily we all come from Allah, and to Him we belong. That statement, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, that is a tawheed. My tongue is for Allah, so I'll use it for what is correct. I won't use it to chat up a woman who's haram for me. My eyes belong to Allah, so I have to look at what is only halal and keep it away from what's haram. My stomach is for Allah, so I have to take care of it as a trust. Everything, my money is for Allah. From Allah I come, and to Allah I will return. So stay away from ishirk wa kufr. Kitab al-Tawheed. Chapter number 11. He brings this chapter and he entitled it the chapter of the impermissibility of sacrificing in a place where sacrifices are offered to other than Allah. We mentioned last week that it is not permissible to sacrifice for other than Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach his companions the evil of sacrificing for other than Allah. And you think Jahiliyyah was just doing that time of the Arabs? La. Jahiliyyah is right now in the streets of Keithley, in the homes of Keithley. People slaughter and sacrifice for other than Allah. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, tremendous companion of al-Islam, during his khilafah, one of the men came to him and he loved Ali and he picked him up and he saw that he was from Ahlul Bayt and he was on the side of Ali. That man said to Ali, Hal khassakum Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi ilmi min duni nas? Has Allah given you, Ali, some knowledge that he didn't give anyone else? Did Rasulullah take you to the side and say, Ali, I'm only going to tell you this. The khilaf is for you. Did Rasulullah do that for you, Ali? Did he give you any esoteric knowledge that's only for you? Any knowledge that is batin, special knowledge, special interpretation that only you can come up with? Ali radiallahu anhu, he got mad and he said, Wallahi, billadhi kharaja nasma ma khassani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi ilmin dunin nas. He said, I swear by Allah, the one who brought the seed out of the ground. Rasulullah didn't choose me for some special knowledge. And then he took his sword out. He said, accept what I have written in this sword. He took a piece of paper out. And he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La'na Allah man la'na walidayhi wa la'na Allah man dhabaha li ghayri Allah wa la'na Allah man awa muhditha wa la'na Allah man ghayyara manar al-ard. He took a piece of paper out of his sword, the sheath where he used to protect the sunnah of Rasulillah. He literally protected it with his sword. He took it out and he said, the only thing that I have is that Rasulullah said, may the curse of Allah be upon the person who curses his mother or his father. Walaikum salam. And may the curse of Allah be upon the person who slaughters for other than Allah. He slaughtered a chicken. He slaughtered a pigeon. May the curse of Allah be upon him. And may the curse of Allah be upon a person who protected a deviant. Person who has deviation in his aqeed and his Islam. And may the curse of Allah be upon the person who changes the demarcation of the earth, of the land. Your land consists of 800 meters by 600 meters. And mine consists of 800 meters by 400 meters. I switch mine 200 meters more, 100 meters more. I give you 150 meters less. May Allah curse you because you're a thief. You're stealing from the people. So those four things. From them, Ikhwan, I want to make this point. It shows the severity of all four of those things. And it shows what we're dealing with today. May the curse of Allah be upon the one who slaughters for other than Allah. The man who slaughtered a pigeon for Allah. Oh Allah, I'm going to slaughter this pigeon for you and give it away as food to the poor people. That is better and more weighty in the scales than the man who slaughtered 100 camels for other than Allah. He slaughtered a lot of money, 100 camels, but he did it for other than Allah. That will equal zero. It'll equal negativity in his scales. Whereas the one who slaughtered just the size of a camel or the bird, he will get a big reward. Another point that we have to mention about the hadith of Ali, when he pulled out the thing and had written some hadith, that goes to show that the hadith of Rasulullah was written during the time of the companion. They used to write the hadith during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the beginning of al-Islam, he told the people, everyone who has something written other than the Quran, don't write it. Because he didn't want the Quran to get mixed up with the hadith. So he stopped them from writing any hadith. But once the Quran was there and it was clear, he started to allow them to write. The man will come on the day of the Hajj. His name is Abu Shah. He'll say, Ya Rasulullah, I can't remember all of what you're saying. Rasulullah said to his companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uktubu li Abi Shah. Write for Abu Shah. Write for Abu Shah. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, he came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I write what you say. And Quraysh, they were saying to me, what's wrong with you, Abdullah ibn Amr al-As? Muhammad is just a human being. Even Quraysh knew that. Muhammad is just a human being. He gets mad. He gets happy. Why are you writing everything that he has to say? So what should I do, Ya Rasulullah? That was heavy to hear that. Rasulullah said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, Uktub, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْهُ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. He said, write, because nothing will come out of it except the truth. So he allowed them to write. So those are some issues that are issues connected to our deen that we should know. So brothers in al-Islam, slaughtering for other than Allah is haram. And even if you don't slaughter, if you make a sacrifice, you know, if you give sacrifice flowers, what they call an offering in the church, we will make an offering. I grew up, my parents taught me every Sunday, here's your offering for the church. My mother would give me 50 cents, 75 cents, a dollar every week. She grew us up learning. You have to make an offering to the church. An offering to Jesus. An offering to this or that. If you make an offering, whether it's fruit, whether it's flowers, you take flowers and make an offering with the flowers for the saint at the grave. All of that is impermissible. So slaughtering for other than Allah is haram. What about slaughtering at a place? You slaughter for Allah, but you're going to slaughter in the place where the people used to slaughter for other than Allah. That's what this chapter is all about. The chapter of the impermissibility of sacrificing in a place where sacrifices are offered for other than Allah. The Sheikh, the Imam, he brings, as is his custom, the ayat in Surah At-Tawbah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was told in the Quran, فَلَا تَقْفْ عَلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. Allah told Rasulullah, do not stand in the Masjid al-Dirar ever. This is the concept you have to know, ikhwati fillah. Masjid al-Dirar. This is the concept you should know in Arabic. Like zakat, hijab. Actually, what is hijab? What is that word, hijab? What does it mean? The scarf that the woman wears to cover something. Akhi, madha. And nur. What is a nur? It's light. It's light. Akhi, tanvir. What is the word masjid? What does it mean? Mosque. That's French. He speaks French as well. So it's the mosque. Brother Martin. Rasulullah. What does it mean? Rasulullah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. I bear witness that Muhammad is Rasulullah. What is Rasulullah? You. What is Rasulullah? The messenger of Allah. Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. These are words that we hear so much that we have to come to know. Masjid al-Dirar. Masjid al-Dirar is one of those concepts. Masjid al-Dirar, ikhwan, was the masjid that was built by the munafiqeen, by the hypocrite. Rasulullah had his masjid that all of the people used to come to. The hypocrite, they don't like khayr. They don't like to be together. They're troublemakers. Sheikh, says Allah. They are troublemakers. Mushawishun. So from the characteristics of the hypocrite is, they don't like to be together. They like to go to do their own thing. They want to make a masjid to split the community.
So instead of people coming to give their money and to support one masjid, they'll make another masjid somewhere to make the people split their efforts. That's what happened during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah called that masjid over there Masjid al-Dirar, the masjid of hurt. And he told Rasulullah, don't ever stand over there. Never go to their masjid. Why? That's the masjid of evil. So the sheikh, he brought that ayah of Masjid al-Dirar, where Allah told Rasulullah, don't stand there ever. Don't stand in a place where an offering is made other than Allah. Is it permissible for me to take the time out to go into a church to pray? La, don't stand in the Masjid Dirar. So how are you going to pray in a church? Umar radiallahu anhu, when he went to take the keys, to accept the keys from the people in Jerusalem, they said, after being defeated by the Muslims, we only give the keys, we only want to give the keys to the Khalifa Umar. So Umar traveled all the way from Medina with one person. Just him and the other person until he made it to Jerusalem. And he went to their masjid. And he was in their masjid. And he saw a monk praying and crying. And then he started reading the ayah that I proved. An ayah that proves what we're talking about today, if you slaughter for other than Allah. He mentioned the ayah from Surah Al-Ghashiyah. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية. Has the news of the غاشية يوم القيامة, when the swoon comes and it's serious, has the news of يوم القيامة, the last day, come to you? On that day the hearts will be fearful. عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا. Allah said their faces will be tired from toiling, but they will enter into the hellfire. When Umar saw that man crying and making salat, he said, their faces are toiling, but he's going to the hellfire. All of that effort is for other than Allah. So what's the benefit? Anyway, Ikhwan, when the time for salat came, Umar said, I have to go make salat. The monks, the people of the church said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, pray right here so we can get the barakah of your prayer. He said, I'm afraid if I pray here, the people are going to think it's okay after me. Why? He's from the Khulafa Rashidin. If I pray here, the Muslims who see me are going to think it's okay for me to pray here. So he left. So here he says, don't stand in the place where other than Allah, something was slaughtered from other than Allah. Then he brings the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Hadith is on Thabit ibn Dahak radiallahu anhu. قال نظر الرجل أن ينحر إبل ببوان فسأله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هل كان فيها وثن أو أوثان الجاهلية يعبد؟ قالوا لا. قال فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم؟ قالوا لا. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أوفي بنذرك فإنه لا وفاء للنذر في معصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. إخواني, pay attention to this hadith. Magic. Zahid. Pay attention to this hadith. You have to remember this hadith. Thabit ibn Dahak, he said, a man, he vowed in Jahiliyyah, before the man became a Muslim, he made a vow, he took an oath, that he would slaughter a camel at a place called Bawana. Before he became a Muslim, he vowed to slaughter a camel for Allah in a place called Bawana, a well-known place there in Arabia. So the man came to Rasulullah, and he asked Rasulullah about the permissibility of that. Ya Rasulullah, before I was a Muslim, I vowed to buy my son a car. I vow to do some righteous deed. Now that I'm a Muslim, can I continue that vow? Can I continue with that oath? He asked that man, concerning your vow to slaughter that animal at Bawana. This place Bawana, is it a place where the kuffar used to slaughter their animals for other than Allah? The man said no. He said, that place Bawana, is it a place where they have celebration? Where they have their kuffar celebration? Christmas, Easter, is that a place where they do that? The man said, no. Rasulullah said, go ahead and complete your vow. Go ahead and complete the vow. Because sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no vow in the disobedience of Allah, nor is there a vow that can be taken in what Ibn Adam, the son of Adam, doesn't own. So, ikhwan, you cannot vow to say to your son, wallahi, I take an oath, I swear by Allah, if I ever speak to you again, I vow this and that. You can't cut off your relationship. That kind of vow is not permissible. I vow, wallahi, if he does this, I'll kill him. This is my vow, that if he does this, I vow that I will kill him if he doesn't do this or doesn't do that. You can't make those vows like that. Nor can you vow, make a vow about what you don't own. I vow, wallahi, I vow that I'm going to give him the hat of so-and-so, and it's not my property. I vow that if I marry his daughter, I'll divorce her. He's not married to her. You can't make a vow in what you don't own. And you can't make a vow in what is haram. You make a vow in what is from the deen. Another thing about the vow is disliked in al-Islam. It is makruh. It's disliked. Rasulullah said about the vow, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni akrahu nadhar. Verily, I dislike the vow. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُقَدِّمُ قَدَرًا وَلَا يُؤَخِرْهُ وَلَكِنَّهُ يُسْتَعْمَلْ لِاسْتِخْرَاجِ الْبَخِيلِ. He said the vow doesn't make the qadr change either way. It doesn't make something happen, nor does it push away the qadr. But it is used for the stingy one. Vowing, Aswallahi, if this happened, I'll slaughter. If this happened, I'll go to Hajj. If this happened, I'll go to Umrah. If this happened, I'll fast a week. He said, this does not change the qadr. It doesn't make the qadr go forward or behind. But it's used so that the stingy one will do something. What's the meaning of that? Give you this example. A man, his wife is in her pregnancy having a lot of difficulty. Hey, it's okay for you to sit like that with me. But when we have a guest here, I don't want you to sit like that with, like the sheikh or older people, okay? It's okay. If a person, ikhwan, his wife is pregnant, she's had a difficult pregnancy. Now she gets close to the 9th month. In the pregnancy, everyone is afraid. The baby may get lost and the mother. It's my wife, your sister, your mother. Everyone is afraid of losing the mother. Big catastrophe. So the husband, in sincerity to Allah, he wants to show Allah, I'm sincere, that I need your help. I know no one can help her but you. So if you allow the baby to come, okay, and the mother to be okay, oh Allah, I vow to give the masjid 1,000 pounds. That's a lot. I vow to give the masjid 1,000 pounds. 2,000 pounds. Half of my earnings. And he says that with ikhlas. And he really has a good niyyah. Rasulullah didn't like that. He said, that vow is not the thing that will make her deliver okay, nor is it going to cause harm. The thing that you're afraid of, the vow is not going to make it happen or not happen. It's Allah who will do it. So you can just ask Allah, please protect her without making any vow. Because once you make the vow, it is wajib upon you. You have to give the 1,000 pounds. So let's say that the baby comes out okay. Now that the baby comes out okay, the person says, oh, well, I'll give the 1,000 pounds next year because I never said when I'm going to give it. Or the person dies and no one knew about his vow. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you have to pay up. Where's that vow? You're sinning if you didn't take care of the vow. So you're putting unnecessarily something on your shoulders that Allah didn't put on you. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So the vow is disliked. That ayat means Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope, beyond its ability. Allah didn't make that wajib upon you. So don't make it wajib upon yourself. But if you do make a vow, and you take care of the vow, this is a good ibadah in al-Islam. But the vow in general, ikhwan, is makruh, is disliked. Stay away from it. If you want to give 1,000 pounds, give it without a vow. You want to make hajj, do it without making a vow. Because the vow is in your neck, as the imam is going to say. So he asked, in that place, Bawana, is that a place where the kuffar used to do their slaughter?
No.
Is it a place where they used to party, celebrations? No. Then go ahead and do it. Which goes to show, Ikhwan, if the kuffar used to slaughter there, then it's not permissible for you to do anything there. Which is similar to the graveyard where there are saints. Is that a place where the people make shirk and kuffar? Yes. Then don't go to that particular grave, that maqbara. What about the places like the party, the disco and this and that, the bar and all of that? All of those places have the same ruling. You don't drink, you don't get high, but someone invites you to come to the bar just for a drink. Can you go and just drink water? Nah, you can't go and just drink water. Rasulullah cursed the place where khamr is poured, where is drink, and the table that it is drank upon. Rasulullah cursed the pourer, the one who's pouring it, the one who's drinking it, the one who squeezed the date, the one who carried it, the table that it is upon. So if you can help it, we have a business meeting, we can't help it. I have a business meeting, they invited me, I have to go, I'm going to lose my job. Then I won't be able to take care of my family. I go out of necessity. There's khamr on the table. But I say something, why you guys have to drink khamr? Jesus didn't drink khamr. They'll say, yes, he did in communion. He drank khamr. This is a lie on Isa ibn Umari. So it's not permissible. Not permissible to party. It's not permissible to do Christmas. No cars, no this, no that. Not permissible. You can't get a halal chicken and practice Christmas. Can't get a halal turkey and practice Thanksgiving or Christmas. What about the person who his family members are non-Muslims? Allah has allowed us to marry women from Ahlul Kitab. Islam, Muslims, we can marry women who are Jews or Christians. We can marry them. Since Allah allowed us to marry them, Allah knew that there are aspects of their religion that they're going to do that are against Islam. Like the Christmas tree, like the cars, like, is it haram for us? Well, if we're in that position, Islam did not tell you you have to divorce your wife. Islam did not tell you that you can't visit your kids and they can't visit you. Islam did not tell you that. But you should give dawah to those people. You should give dawah. Call them to the realization of the reality of who Jesus was. And so forth and so on. But we have to be balanced. Don't run your relatives away. The next dalil, Ikhwan, that the Shaykh mentioned in this chapter, that was the only dalil that he brought, powerful dalil, a dalil qawi. But it's beneficial, inshallah. We want to mention here from the important points of the dalil, is it goes to show how the person Rasulullah taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the mufti, Rasulullah, wa alaykum salam. If a person is asked a question, he as a mufti, he used to ask about the details. When someone comes and he asks a question, you get a call on the telephone, sister's having marital problems, she wants to talk to you and she wants to say to you, this is what happened between my husband and myself. And she starts to say the story. You have to listen to the story, and then you have to start asking questions as well. Did you have a wali? How does your father feel about the marriage? Is this your first marriage? Is this his first marriage? How long have you been married? Do you want to stay in the marriage? What's your idea of how it can be rectified and corrected? That's how Rasulullah was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People would come to him and ask questions, and he will start to ask them questions to find out more details because of the principle. Al-hukum ala shay farunan tusawwirihi. In order for you to pass judgment on something, you have to conceptualize what that thing is you're dealing with. If someone came to you and said, what is the ruling of intoxicants in al-Islam? And you don't have an idea of what intoxicants are, how are you going to say halal, haram? Someone comes and says, what is the ruling of bongo? Bongo. I don't know what bongo is, so how am I going to say halal or haram? It sounds like it's a problem, but how am I going to say halal or haram? What is the ruling of this or what is the ruling of that? You have to have a concept. And the way you get the concept is to ask questions. So you may not be asked questions about the deen, or you may. If you're asked questions about this religion, you have to know what you're talking about before you can say yes, no, maybe so. If your children ask you questions about the life, you have to know what you're talking about in order to be able to tell them this, that, this, and this. Also, from the benefits of this particular hadith, is that the disbelievers, when they fall into disobedience, the disobedience and the masiyah, it has a lasting effect. Disobedience has a lasting effect in the dunya and in the akhirah. It lasts for a long time. And that comes from the fact that even though the place Bawana was not being used anymore for anything, it's just a place, Rasulullah asked, is it a place that the people slaughter for other than Allah? Disobedience. Is it a place where they have their parties and they do their thing? Disobedience. Had the man say yes, Rasulullah said, would have said to that man, then don't do it there. Would have had a lasting effect. A lasting effect. If there's a particular place that some evil took place there, a home, 20 people were murdered, the family was murdered, serious incident happened. When people come to inquire about that property being put on the market, a lot of times people would sense, they say, well, I'm going to think twice about the negativity. I'm going to think twice about purchasing the property because of the negativity that's associated with the place. So disobedience has a lasting effect and a lasting impact. We're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala, chapter number 11, and we'll begin chapter 11 next week, inshallah. Make sure, ikhwani, that you understand the ayat of the Quran, verily my life, my death, my sacrifices, my salat, my sacrifice, all of that is for Allah. So you make yourself available to extend yourself to people. You make yourself available to do those things that are going to put you in good grace with Allah Almighty, the Creator. When we start to look at my life is for me, this is the culture we live in. The decadent, me, myself, and I culture. The culture of overeating, overindulging. The culture of people in our homes. The father eats at one time, the mother eats at another time, all the children eat at another time. Islam said, la. He said, the best fool is the fool that has a lot of hands in the plate to increase the love with each other. Even if it's not from the same plate, Rasulullah taught the community to eat from the same plate. That will force the love and a bond between the people, wallahi. But even if you don't eat from the same plate, that's not our culture. Eating at the same time is quality time. So what did you do? And what happened with you? You can look at this family member and you can see something is wrong with him. Now you have an opportunity to ask what's going on. But he goes to his room, he eats at a particular time, you don't see him. So we have to make an effort to have some time for our family being together. Especially those who have children. So we have to get away from the me, myself, and I culture and everything that will foster that. Because it makes it hard to practice my life and my death, my salat, my sacrifices for Allah. It makes it hard. My life is for me. So therefore I find it very difficult to give money to the masjid. Therefore I find it very difficult to make efforts for the religion, to make efforts for my brother, to protect the brotherhood and the sisterhood. So if you brothers have any questions concerning today's darus, inshallah, you can ask them now. Hal min su'al, any questions? Fadda akhi tanvir. What about the places of ibadah that used to be churches that now they have turned them into the mosque? There are differences of opinion from the latter-day scholars that I've met concerning this. Some of them said it shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be done, and they use as a proof this hadith that we talked about today with Bawana. And that is a strong proof. That is a strong proof. Others, especially the ones who have traveled to these countries
And they're not ulama, but they're strong students of knowledge. Other ones who have traveled to this country, they say, in light of the way the system is, Muslims can't always build masjids from the ground up. Muslims sometimes are forced to have a masjid and it's a house. Masjids that are apartment, from apartments in an apartment building. They use the ayat of the Quran, وَنُبَدِّلُ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَسَنَاتِ. Allah said about the people who do a lot of sins, when they make tawbah and they try to do the right thing, we will change their evil deeds into good deeds. So that place that used to be a place of worship for other than Allah, they're saying Allah will change it into a place of good deeds. They also use as a delil, and this is a strong delil that makes me feel that their position is the best position. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al-Madinah, and there was a tribe called Bani Najjar. They were from Medina. They had their graveyard where the masjid was going to be built, Masjid Al-Quba, the first masjid that was built in Al-Islam. Rasulullah dug up their graves and put them somewhere else. Dug up their graves and put them somewhere else. The people used to glorify some of those graves and used to do what was haram at some of those graves. But he still built the masjid there. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So because of our situation here, especially because of that, I would say we should be a bit more easier in these types of issues, because this is not Pakistan where the government takes care of the masjid. This is not the Arab countries where the government takes care of the masjid. This is Keith Lee, United Kingdom in West Yorkshire, where Chappelle has to give money to the masjid. Has to. Where I have to give money to the masjid. Where Imran has to give money to the masjid, or our masjid is going to get taken away from us. Or we're going to have problems. Now, any more questions? Uthman. Are there any hadith that say if you live in the land of the kuffar, are you allowed to trim your beard? Alhamdulillah. Yahdikum Allah wa yuslihu ba'alakum. To say there are no hadith that say that will require a vast amount of knowledge of the ahadith. And we can't go overboard. I can't say that there's no hadith that says that. But I know, and I will bet, the life of Muawiyah, the little Mau Mau, I will bet that there's no hadith that's authentic that says that. There's no authentic hadith that says that. As for a fabricated hadith somewhere, maybe you can find that. Maybe you can find that. But there's no authentic hadith that says that at all. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Any more questions? Ikhwati fillah.
You mentioned about when to do or something.
Now, I'm concerning the nadhar or the vow. Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the nadhar, the vow, does not change it. Does it make it good? Does it make it evil? He said, but the vow is something that is used for the stingy one. The Bakhir. Meaning, he normally wouldn't give that £1,000. Normally he wouldn't. He has to be put in this situation. So he makes the vow, and that's how he gives £1,000. So since that doesn't change the Qadr, what can change the Qadr? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith that the dua changes the Qadr. Making supplication can change what has been decreed. Something happens to someone, there is something that is written negative about that lady. She's going to die, the baby was going to die. So the person makes dua to Allah. It was written that she would die. If he makes dua sincerely, being connected to Allah, utilizing the power of prayer and the power of dua, one of the strongest weapon of the believer. It's a weapon that's stronger than the weapons that
can kill people. It's a strong weapon. That doesn't mean, Ikhwan, you do like that man did a few weeks ago when he got into the cage of the lion. The man a few weeks ago on the news wanted to show the power of dua. He was a Christian, and he said Christians were put in the cage with the lions during Jesus' time, and the lions just sat down and didn't do anything. And I believe that that's possible. I believe that the Red Sea can split, and you can go through the Red Sea. And I believe that you can exist inside of the tummy of a whale, if you believe, and if Allah helps you to do that. But Islam doesn't tell you to sit in the middle of the road, on the motorway, oncoming traffic, and say, the power of dua is going to make me invisible. So the man put himself inside of the cage of the lion, and the Usama, the Ghazanfar, the Asad, the Abu al-Harith, the lion, begin to eat the man. But wallahi, at first, the lion didn't do anything. And I thought the lion was, I said, look at that, it was amazing. But then the lion did what was natural, and he ate the man. He had that on film, on the news, recent. They showed the lion biting his leg off, and then they stopped because it's too gruesome. So, as it relates to the dua can change the qadr, because it was written that you will make dua, and that dua will change the qadr. Also, what will change the qadr, especially as it relates to your money, and as it relates to your lifespan. Rasulullah told us, young people especially, he said, whoever wants to extend his life and increase his money, then let him take care of his relationships, his family relationships. Whoever wants to extend his life and increase his money, then let him take care of his family relationships. This is consistent with a principle from Christianity that says, whoever honor your mother and your father so that your years may be extended, or something like that. Honor your mother and your father so that your life may be extended, something like that. So if a person takes care of his mother and his father, his uncles, and he looks after them, the qadr was that he would die at 62. Because he was diligent in doing that, it will extend to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Dua and taking care of your family relationships will extend your lifespan on this earth. So the Muslim is lifting weights, he's running, he's jogging, he's riding a bike, and he can do that, but he also has to utilize these religious methods that will benefit him being in good shape and good health. We're going to stop here, Juan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who are muwahideen, people who have tawheed, and that he saves us from being from the mubtadi'ah, the people who fall into bid'ah and innovation, and that he establishes all of our feet and our hearts firmly upon the kalimat tawheed and upon the kitab and the sunnah of Rasulullah al-Amin. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.